This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On the fan hotline by our good friend Jason Mackey, the Post-Gazette. And Jason, I didn't realize today that when I asked you to come on at 8 o'clock, I would be pulling you away from the NFL schedule release show.
Yeah, well, I found out all day what the schedule is. So I have kept a schedule matrix. I've analyzed it, and I've come up with the Steelers record for this upcoming season. So, you know, just so everybody knows, you don't have to pay attention to it. You don't even have to watch the season. We can just come up with how things are going to go, and then we all know that reality will be nothing like what we come up with right now. And so this is really a pointless exercise to me, the entire schedule release date. I don't understand it. It drives me crazy.
No, I know. But again, as we've talked, I had Jeff Hathorn on, and we talked about it. The NFL is just the king of figuring out ways to, you know, generate this kind of, like, hype and excitement. Even though they're not going to play a game for, what, 5 months?
Yeah, I they're not getting it out of me, Paul. Maybe somebody gets excited about that stuff, man. I don't care. I looked at it real quick, and I'm like, yep, looks like a schedule. All right, I'll see you in August. I don't know. I love the NFL. I love watching football. I just don't understand why the heck we're going to get that jazzed up about it now. But I guess, you know, I see Filippone's losing his mind and Dunlap's tweeting the living daylights out of it. And I don't know, to each their own, but it doesn't do anything for me.
Well, I'll tell you what didn't do a whole lot for me today and really didn't do a whole lot for the Pirates was the lineup that they put out there today. I mean, I know you only got so many guys in your locker room, but you're 1 through 5 hitters today, 140, 208, 216, 200, and 215. That's generally not going to get it done, is it?
Well, I mean, if you add them all together, that's a pretty darn good hitter. I guess it's probably bad when they're individual. No, I mean, it's not great, Paul. There's no way, like, there's nothing I can say here that's going to make it okay or acceptable, and I wouldn't try to do that. But I don't know what other direction they're going to go. It's not like they have guys that are tearing the cover off the ball that they're sitting. I mean, the only one that I would look at would be like Will Craig in AAA has gotten off to a nice start. Has three homers, and, you know, he's hitting like .200, had three hits today. Maybe he comes up. You know, we saw Phillip Evans come up lame with a hamstring. If he's out for any stretch of time, wouldn't shock me if they went to Will Craig. Okay, he's got a little bit of pop. But, I mean, is that like some sort of savior? I mean, last season this kid couldn't smell the major. So, I mean, I certainly hope that he comes up and does something that's productive, but there's only so many places they can go. And when they get Colin Moran back, it'll be a little bit better. Gregory Polanco, by and large, has been a disappointment. I know he hit one ball hard today, but it's been minimal. I mean, it's the best they can do. I don't know. It sounds sad or whatever to say, but, I mean, that's the best they can do. They have to win other ways. They have to win by, you know, capitalizing on opportunities. I know I wrote it for my game store. I think they were 1 for 13 with runners in scoring position and stranded 9. You just can't do that. Like, if you get guys on second and third and one out, you got to find a way to bring a run home. Doesn't mean putting the ball over the fence, but have a smart at bat. And, you know, guys don't have great batting averages. Okay. But to me, a bigger issue with this team that we've seen is they get put in key situations, and, you know, maybe it's because they're inexperienced or whatever, and they're not able to get that run home, and that it is costing them.
Well, and I think today what was such a shame is that it was that the pitchers had done so well. That was really what the biggest shame of today was, is that you felt like you know, that the pitchers really played, you know, gave them a chance to win until the 10th inning. And by that point, you know, it's a crapshoot because you're when you're actually, you know, when you put guys on base, you know, artificially, you know, it's, you know, there's going to be some runs scored. So I just feel bad because I thought today was a really well-pitched game by the Pirates and they, you know, weren't able to come up with a win.
No doubt. No doubt. And I look at some of their pitching and I don't totally understand it. Like Trevor Cahill had a really good start today. I liked what I saw from him. I mean, if you give me that out of Trevor Cahill every 5 days, I'm taking it. And I think some other team is eventually going to take it. I think he showed what he can do. And I liked what Clay Holmes did, came in, did the job. Same with Chase and Treve. Good for them. I thought it was interesting talking about Dwayne Underwood Jr. in the 10th, what Derek Shelton said. And you know, I've watched Dwayne Underwood Jr. pitch since spring training, and this is a guy who came here from Chicago, and he started to play up his changeup more and throw his curveball more, which has been like a different pitch for him. And then there you are in the 10th inning in a key situation, guy on second base where base is loaded, and he's throwing fastballs, and he missed with the fastball. I mean, it's on him. He didn't execute the pitch, but Derek Shelton after the game said, I thought the pitch calling could have been better. He does not criticize many people like that. And that comment is directed at Michael Perez, the catcher who calls the game. And I just thought that was interesting. And by and large, their pitching was really, really good. It's just in the 10th inning when Underwood Jr. needed to execute some pitches, he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I have a hard time putting it on the pitchers because the Reds' bullpen went 5 1/3 innings and held the Pirates hitless. Forget about being scoreless, hitless. And
yep.
That's just, you're never going to win doing that.
No, you're not. You're not. And their lineup is not, it's not consistent enough. It's not good enough. You know, but again, I'm not making excuses for them. It's just, there's only so many rocks they can look under here. You know, it's not like bringing up Cole Tucker is going to inject some dose of life into the group. You know, I think ideally you'd probably see Travis Swaggerty hitting well in AAA and you'd look to bring him up. But as of now, it's been seven games. You know, even if it's a good seven games, it's still only seven games. I'm not sure that's the best move for somebody, you know, making his first foray into the big leagues. Their lineup, I mean, what they have to do is handle themselves, and I hate this cliche, but like stay within themselves. And from a baseball standpoint, it's what I'm talking about. You know, if you get a walk, if you get a single, and somehow you move those guys over, you've got second and third, one out, don't try to hit a bleeping home run. You're not going to do it. Hit a ground ball to the right side of the infield. Know how to have a little uppercut to your swing and find some grass. Again, you don't need to scald a ball 115 miles an hour in the gap. Just get a run when you've got two runners in scoring position and one out. And that's, again, it's a boring stay within yourself cliche, but like that's what it is. If you do that in the second inning, you do that in the third inning, you do that in the fourth inning, and you pitch well, and you play good defense, and your bullpen is good, we saw what can happen for about 12 games there where they knew what they were doing. And I don't know, they may fall on their face and lose 110. I'm not saying that like, oh my God, they're the greatest team, but like, they can be okay if they follow that recipe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. They you know, when you pitch as well as they've pitched, I think that's the big thing with them is when you're able to pitch as well as they've pitched, you give yourself a chance. And I would think that is really, you know, all you can ask for. Are you giving yourself a chance? And so, you know, now it's on to the Giants. What do you think the Giants will bring?
Some old school ball, man. Some old school ball. I like the Giants. I'm excited to see them in here because, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum on your show, on every show that I do about, you know, sort of the trend of baseball. You're throwing four seamers up in the zone, curveballs off of that or whatever. And the Giants are like turning back the clock a little bit. They're up in ground balls. They're throwing sinkers low in the zone. They're doing stuff that got the previous regime in Pittsburgh fired. And like, it's an interesting discussion, right? Because there's nothing wrong with that strategy. You know, if I have Brandon Wood on my team, I'm not going to tell him to throw a four-seamer up in the – or Brandon Webb, not Brandon Wood. You know, the great sinker baller, I'm not going to tell him to throw a four-seamer up in the zone. Like, if you have guys that throw that way, do it. And they have a bunch of guys that throw that way, and they're doing it. They're throwing well. But it is like a sort of island of misfit toys when you talk about their rotation, too. Like, DeSclafani and Alex Wood and Johnny Cueto's coming in. It's a whole bunch of, like, ex-Reds, of all things. But, you know, they've got guys like Buster Posey, Evan Longoria, guys that, you know, you would think are maybe a little bit over the hill, but they're not at all. They're playing really, really well, and they're just doing it in kind of an old-school way, Weisbother, and throwing the ball over the plate, getting people to put it in play. They don't have a bunch of strikeouts, but they get a whole bunch of ground ball outs. They're doing it with guys who throw the two-seamer, and I like it. Hopefully it increases the pace of play, because I know today's about four-hour slog, even though it went 10, pace of play was not great.
No, it wasn't. I mean, that's part of baseball's problem. But, you know, again, we've talked about that so many times. It's not really even a discussion. Did you get anything about Phil Evans after the game?
No, just Shelton said, you know, basically reiterated what we were told, that he has left hamstring discomfort. I've heard a couple things that it's not good. I do think they're going to have to make a roster move. I think the likeliest is probably Will Craig. I'm trying to dance around it a little bit, but that's my expectation. That's not official. They're still sort of discussing things, but you know, I think Evans is probably going to miss at least a little bit of time. And you know, I say Will Craig because they don't have another first baseman on the roster. They DFA'd Todd Frazier. You know, best case scenario, maybe you use Eric Gonzalez there. They added Ben Gamel to the mix, and they're like sort of flirting with him playing over there, but I think he's played either like two innings or two games or something absolutely meaningless. They need a first baseman, and they have a kid in Craig who's a first-round pick in 2016. He's off to a good start, and you're probably going to see him up here.
I think that's a guy that we've talked about a lot. The other guy that's down there that we've talked about is Cole Tucker. I'm assuming he hasn't progressed like they would have liked, or else we would probably be hearing about him maybe coming up.
Yeah, I mean, this is more of a position-specific need just because they need somebody literally to play first base. I don't think it's a mark against anything Cole has done or not done. You know, it's still light hitting. You know, he's striking out too much. He's not making enough contact. He's not one of the things they were working on him with in Bradenton whenever he was doing the quote-unquote skill development was, and this is goes back to the offseason too, was just integrating his legs more into his swing. Too often he swings and he's too upright, and that's why you see a lot of the goofy swings when he's beaten on a curveball, or you don't see him able to drive the ball a whole lot, and they haven't made a ton of progress with that. And, you know, I don't want to shove Cole's work out of the way and just ignore it, but I don't think he's ready to come up here right now and contribute in any meaningful way.
Well, that's a shame, because I thought he was kind of one of the guys that they were counting on to get it done.
I mean, he might come up here in a couple of weeks, Paul. I'm not saying that it's going to be like that in perpetuity. I just mean that, you know, like right now he needs to produce more. He needs to earn his ticket. And, you know, Will Craig has, Cole Tucker hasn't.
It's interesting, Jason, back-to-back days we saw sort of the difference between, you know, Mitch Keller and JT Brubaker. And I think a lot of it has to do with the mentality and the ability just to kind of fight through, you know, when things don't quite go right on the mound. It seems like Mitch Keller struggles to really fight through it, and JT Brubaker seems like you can't rattle him at all.
Yeah, I like him. I've said this before on your show. I just like his mentality, man. Like, you know, and people have asked me about Mitch Keller and his temperament and whatever, and like I've gone on my rant about starting pitchers and how you need to be you know, I have some words I can't say on the radio for it, but, like, you need to be cocky. You need to have an edge to you. And JT Brubaker has that, man. He doesn't have it in a jerkish kind of way. Just he's proud of what he's got. He's throwing it out there, and good for him, man. He should. And I like that about how he pitches. He pitches with a little bit of emotion. And I've liked in his starts, though this past one wasn't necessarily that, because he did have some really dynamic stuff, especially his slider, but he's done something that Keller can probably learn from, is when he doesn't have his best stuff, he still knows how to challenge guys. He's still around the zone. Keller, when he hasn't had his A stuff, he's basically gotten whacked around. What's weird for me with Keller, Paul, is like watching him throw, you know, the other day, three innings, he's great, right? Like, he gave up the home run to Eugenio Suarez, which is a mistake. But other than that, like, he was really good. And then all of a sudden, it's like somebody flipped the switch. It was like what, like one of his entire starts just occurred in the middle of one of his starts. He just went south in a hurry. And I don't know why. I don't know if he knows why. All of a sudden, his fastball command's just kind of, he's missing spots with it. He's getting behind in counts. Like, I don't know. I don't think they know. It's weird. I've never seen a guy be just that back and forth and that quickly, that pronounced as Keller is. But they need to figure out a way to sort of smooth out the rough edges for sure.
No question. And I think he's got the stuff. He's just got to figure it out, you know, between the ears. Jason, I appreciate you taking some time tonight, and I'm sure do it again. And, you know, keep grinding away, my man.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.